At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring trial consultant and body language expert Susan Constantine.
Maya Kowalski and family walking away with more than $250 million in their judgment against Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital. It's quite an interesting case if you break it all down. A lot of injustices taking place here, and a family that was ultimately torn apart. Money, not always the thing, not really ever the thing that can bring anyone back from the dead. So was justice done? That's another question. What we're going to take a look at today is the body language that took place in the trial, not only from that of the defense, but that of the prosecution. Joining us to discuss this, body language expert, the best person on the planet to talk about it, Susan Constantine. Thank you for joining us. Susan, there were so many testimonies in this trial that we could break down, but what are some of the main ones that stood out to you that you'd like to talk about from the Take Care of Maya case?
Boy, I tell you what, it just depends on what angle you want to go with. Mm-hmm. So when I'm looking at the one that stood out to me, of course, was Sally Smith. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that before and I'm actually writing about this in my new book because I felt it was just so compelling that, you know, really cases can be won or lost in expert testimony and the credibility of the witness.
Yeah.
So she didn't come across very credible. She came across as a real bulldog. One of the things that I'm going to be writing about is just her overall demeanor. It's what I call demeanor evidence, a body of evidence, right? Your body, your facial expressions, all of that tells you a lot about how you think and feel. And when I watched her testify, she did try to soften herself up a little bit. She wore her hair down, wore a little bit of makeup. But you know what thing they couldn't change was that great big crease in the middle of her forehead, which was that scowl. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of scowling that was around her mouth. And then you mix that with her tonality, her arrogance, which I think that really screamed loudly from that witness box. But the anger, you know, this is supposed to be someone that's going to be basically a person that is not a caretaker, but watching over Maya. And the scowling that she exhibited, that very deep crevice, it wasn't just a little scowl. That thing was embedded in there for years. So that thing has been there for a long time. So the point being, that kind of gives you a mindset of where she's at in her head and what her life was like. Because that tells me, in order to have that strong of a line in your face, you're scowling a lot throughout your life. And it may be hereditary. If it's hereditary, that tells you a little bit about her upbringing, right? So it just kind of followed the same pattern.
That's so interesting when you have something like that can be hereditary, be generational, if you will, and really says a lot about one's demeanor, one's outlook on life, and just what their character may be like in general. What did you make of another testimony that took place in the trial, but it was in a deposition form? I still don't quite know why she never entered the courtroom. Catherine Betty, her testimony or her deposition, if you will. This, of course, the social worker. There's a lot of accusations against her, including, I think, some new ones. I haven't seen an individual specifically named, but some of the allegations very much go back to what she's been accused of. And now, including allegations, it seems, I believe, against her of possible sexual abuse. That's all outlined in that new filing from the defense of Maya Kowalski. We're just talking about her body language in that deposition. What did you take out of that?
Well, it's interesting if you look at it from head to toe, how she dressed herself that day, from her glasses to her hairstyle. She looked like Joan Cleaver next door, the little polka dotted dress. Her voice was very soft. She appeared to be very kind. You know, her overall appearance seemed to be soft and likable. But then that's where you kind of tie in the evidence, right? Mm-hmm. So people, what they call false actors, right? They're just bad actors. They try to put on this persona that what does an innocent, loving, kind, concerning person look like? And all they did is put that into a picture of how they're going to present themselves. So we are seeing in research and analyzing deception that we see this also too with Wendy Adelson in that case, where they have this head tilt, they have their mouth slightly open, like they're very caring and concerned. And the psychopathy behind it is really interesting to look into, because we're seeing people, in this case, these are now two women, right? That are appearing as if they're totally, completely innocent. And we know that they're not innocent at all. So what do I think about it is that she does not think that what she did was wrong, that she has some boundary issues, right? This is all about boundaries. When you compare her responses to what Maya experiences and her hatred towards her, she hated her.
Yeah.
Because she was trying to take the position of being her mother. And you can see that's probably what really happened. So overall, her appearance was someone that you would trust.
Sure.
But we found out that she wasn't trustworthy at all. And that's where I think it's really important when we start learning how to read people, that you can't always judge a book by its cover. There's sometimes more sinister, more deviancy that they're doing. And they're actually putting on the character of what they want people to perceive them being to persuade people or to misguide them.
Someone that where it almost seems very pathological in the way that their behavior is, like a Catherine Betty, are they aware that they're exhibiting deceptive behavior or nefarious behavior? Or is it one of those things where it's kind of so ingrained, this is how they operate, that it doesn't even stand out to them, which is also why at the end of the day, they think they've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, I think that there is a part of that narcissistic personality disorder where they're godlike. They don't question themselves and how dare you, and where we see people getting very angry and defensive is when you start to attack or question their decision-making. When you do that, you start to see that narcissism pop out. So to answer your question, I think that she has, like, and I'll tell you, and truly I see this a lot with even defense attorneys. They have these rose-colored glasses. I don't know how many people like think that their client is completely innocent. And you're going, he murdered someone or she murdered someone.
Yes.
Oh, they're a nice guy. They're this, that. No, they're not. So I think that what happens is there's a methodology in their head that they can justify what they did, believe what they did to be true, convince themselves what they've done to be true, and therefore it becomes their truth. But keep in mind, I hate that phrase. This is my truth. I'm living out my truth. I'm like, there's no truth in any of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a universal truth, and we all know what that is. And, you know, that's just what I saw.
Yeah. What's your take on the testimony of Maya herself, of the family, of them telling their stories?
Well, you know, the thing is that I had the wonderful opportunity to meet them.
Okay.
I was able to meet Maya. I spoke with Maya. I spoke with the dad. I spoke with the brother. Maya had her boyfriend there that was with her too. And when I had the opportunity to meet them, you know, outside the courtroom and talked a little bit about their case, telling them, I told Maya this. I said, Maya, I said, I want you to know something. And I said, your mother did not die in vain. Mm-hmm. I said, this courtroom is going to be filled with moms, just like your mom, who are all falsely accused and had their children taken away from them, because I know moms like that.
Sure.
Okay. And just her overall demeanor was, she just wanted to collapse in my chest. She wanted to collapse into my friend's chest. Just, she had that deep yearning to be nurtured and loved. And the eyes, when you look in their eyes, the windows of their soul, so much sadness and brokenness. And they were the most humble family. And I'm so glad I had that experience. And watching to her to testify, she was 100% truthful. There was nothing. She never deviated from the truth. She never got stuck. And she never allowed anyone to misguide her or to kind of lead her down a path that was not true. She had this gentle way of holding her ground without becoming sarcastic teenager. She did not appear that way at all. Her tears were genuine. Her sadness was genuine. Her accounting of everything that happened was genuine. The same thing with dad. When I watched and talked to dad, even outside, and then watching him in the courtroom, the sense of loss and brokenness, I mean, they had nothing to hide or to mislead or misguide, because everything they told them was exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And when you sense that, when you're listening to, and I always said this, it's kind of reminds me of like when you go to the opera, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear somebody singing, it can move you to feel emotion, right? Whatever emotion they want you to go into. When they spoke, it moved you to feel that pain. And that's when you can decipher if it was authentic or not, if it was true.
Sure.
Now, let's put the other two with it. Did you feel, or anybody else feel, any sort of empathy or belief in those two, other Beatty and Smith? Mm-hmm. And I would say no. They had a different impression of both of them because the emotion they felt when they were speaking was not authentic. It seemed contrived. It was angry. There was all kinds of deception built in it. It's a complete opposite of the family. And I think that's the reason why. And I was shocked that literally won everything. And I was sitting in my living room and I was watching the trial, and I felt like I was at a football game, right? I'm going, yes.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Whoa. I was flooded with emotion. I began crying, which is so a lot like me, but I felt the pain of what that family went through and that loss.
Yeah.
And I just take me back to Maya, your mama did not die in vain. She is going to open up the corruption that is happening from everywhere, from CPT to CPS to these psychologists, these hospitals, some law enforcement that has to work alongside of what CPT and CPS tells you, and the courts. This is going to open up to be a massive class action lawsuit. You wait, it's coming.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now